Our sermon today is based on a reading from Isaiah chapter 50, verses 4 through 11. The Lord has given me the tongue of a teacher, that I may know how to sustain the weary with a word. Morning by morning he wakens my ear to listen as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I did not turn backward. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out the beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting. The Lord God helps me. Therefore, I have not been disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who are my adversaries? Let them confront me. It is the Lord God who helps me. Who will declare me guilty? All of them will wear out like a garment. The moth will eat them up. Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the voice of his servant, who walks in darkness and has no light, yet trusts in the name of the Lord and relies upon his God? But all of you are kindlers of fire, lighters of firebrands. Walk in the flame of your fire and among the brands that you have kindled. This is what you shall have from my hand. You shall lie down in torment. Thank you, God, for opening our ears to the voice of your servant, whom we know is Jesus the Christ. As we continue our Advent sermon series on the servant songs found in the writings of the prophet Isaiah, we get more glimpses into just what this servant of God is commissioned and compelled to do. As we have stressed previously, the early Christians read these ancient words in the light of Jesus Christ's birth, life, death, and resurrection. Everywhere in these words, they found strong hints as to who exactly the servant was, and they tied those hints closely and compellingly to Christ. They read the words, I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out the beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting, and were immediately put in mind of the abuse Jesus suffered at his sham of a trial before his crucifixion. He did not fight back. He did not protest. He told and showed his followers how to handle such a situation. Do not resist an evildoer. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also for another slap. Now, of course, the earliest Christians did not have the New Testament writings that we have. These were composed some 40 years after Jesus' ascension. But we are privileged to read more about him in the New Testament, and we can point to places that directly relate to Jesus. We'll look at some more of these points next week, but in today's text, when I read, therefore I have set my face like flint, I immediately remembered Luke 9:51, which says, when the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. He meant business. He knew what he had to do, and he girded himself in God's love and God's power and went forth to meet his destiny. We are especially intrigued to read the servant's assertion that God had given him the tongue of a teacher. Think for a moment of some of the teachers in your life. Do you remember some of the things they said to you? Were they encouraging or discouraging? Did they make learning exciting and fun or a chore and a bore? Did you learn vital lessons from them? Jesus was an excellent teacher. Crowds of people would come to hear him speak. The servant asserts he had received a trained tongue, a disciplined tongue. He spoke plainly and convincingly and carefully. None of the things he said were of his own volition or devising. Jesus said, I have not spoken to you on my own, but the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment about what to say and what to speak. What I speak, therefore, I speak just as the Father has told me. One of Jesus' most pressing tasks during his sojourn here on this earth was to preach and teach and share with people the good news of God's plan for humankind. He told them many things in parables to make the image and idea of God's coming kingdom accessible and real to them. He spoke of a woman sweeping her house in search of a lost coin. He spoke of a shepherd seeking a lost sheep and a farmer sowing some seed. His purpose was also to sustain the weary with a word. He understood how people can sometimes get discouraged or fearful or discombobulated with everything going on in the world. Yes, back in the day and even more so now. Jesus was especially adept at soothing people's fears. "Do not be afraid, but believe," he once said. "In this world you face persecution, but take courage. I have conquered the world." He also offered harsh but helpful rebuke when necessary, telling the money changers in the temple, "Stop making my Father's house a marketplace," and scolding Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan," when Peter tried to distract him from his mission. Even in these predictive words from Isaiah, Jesus, as the servant, did not hold back about what would happen to unrepentant sinners, to naysayers and scoffers, to people who claim to do God's work and follow God's will, but very obviously do not. "Walk in the flame of your fire, and among the brands that you have kindled, this is what you shall have from my hand. You shall lie down in torment." Fair warning. Jesus, as God's servant, taught people what was to come and gave them ample time to change their hearts and lives and walk in a new way, trusting in God and relying on the light God has sent to us all. There's something else in this servant song that we should be sure to scrutinize. The servant says, "The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious." In the book of Exodus, there are rules set in place for slaves. One of those rules was that the slave would serve his master for 6 years, and in the seventh year, he would be set free. But the slave might declare, "I love my master. I will not go out a free person." So then his master would bring him before God to the door or the doorpost of the temple, and his master would pierce an ear with an awl, and the servant would serve him for the rest of his life. It's not far-fetched to accept this as an illusion for Jesus. He willingly gave his ear and then his life for the cause of God. He demonstrated a steadfast determination to serve God forever. There would be no turning back now that God had pierced his ear. God opened the ears of another person who obeyed God and did what God asked him to do. Joseph was fast asleep, but his ear was opened to the word of God, to God's reassurance, a sustaining word to this weary man that all would be well if he went ahead and married Mary. As attentive and obedient as the celebrated servant, Joseph got up and claimed Mary, and in essence, the child she carried, as his own to love, protect, support, and sustain. Joseph was not rebellious. He didn't protest that Mary had caused a scandal and dragged his name through the mud along with hers, and he wanted no part of it. Joseph did not turn backwards. He rose from his slumber with a new trust in God and a new determination to take his appointed place in God's plan of redemption. He set his face, too, to disregard the scorn and derision of his choice to marry a disgraced woman because he knew he would not be put to shame. He knew God would vindicate both him and Mary. Joseph was already setting an example of trust and obedience for the soon-to-come servant whom he would raise as his own son. And that example comes down to us as we pick up Jesus' mantle and carry on his work. As we have asserted all these days of Advent, we are now the servants of God, and we are charged with speaking the words of comfort, of hope, of peace, of joy, and of love, just as Jesus did. We are to speak words of solace and assurance and challenge. So let our voices be heard, proclaiming the word from on high, and let our ears be attuned and open to the leading of the Lord, and we'll be ever obedient to God's will for our lives. Let us pray. God, now we are your servants. You have sent us into the world with a word of comfort and encouragement for the weary. Our ears are open to your guidance and your challenge. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Let us carry on the work of Christ, following his divine example and bringing to others peace, hope, joy, and love throughout this season of Advent and beyond. Amen.
In the cool of winter. shepherds gazed upon him in the pale moonlight.
My soul full of wonder,
hearts so rich with joy, quietly we praise him, the precious baby boy. Quietly we praise you, gently we adore you, tenderly we lift our songs to the newborn King. One day loud hosannas will praise the great I am, but tonight hearts whisper, sleep little lamb. Tiny babe, so holy on this starry night, you bring peace to all mankind. Peace be yours tonight. Tiny babe, I love you. I would hold you close. As my Lord, you've held me so many times before. Quietly we praise you, gently we adore you, tenderly we lift our songs to the newborn King. One day loud hosannas will praise the great I am. But tonight hearts whisper,